Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, along with the Grizz from Adventures South of the Border, who right now is south of the border down in the beautiful city of La Paz. And we have a very special guest on the line. And I think what probably the best thing to do, because he knows more about what he does than I do, we have Rob Sexton on the line. Rob, could you give us an idea about your organization and what you do there and what it is that we want to talk about today?
Sure. Well, my name is Rob Sexton. I'm a senior vice president with the U.S. Sportsman's Alliance. Our sole purpose is to defend the rights of Americans to hunt, fish, and trap.
That's great. We need you, buddy.
Some days more than others, I think. And right now, it just seems like things are really boiling over all over the place.
Well, tell us what's boiling over. I mean, you know me. I'm the Grizz. You know, I've been hunting been guiding since 1979. So I've been around and with the television shows and stuff like that. But why don't you tell us what's happening?
Well, the hottest thing going on right now is we've got a bill in the state of California that would ban the hunting of bears and bobcats with hounds.
Bears and bobcats, right. Does that include cougars too?
Well, back in 1990, the anti-hunting crowd ran a ballot issue that already took care of that. So it's been a long time since the Californians could pursue cougars at all, let alone with dogs. But now they're back, and they'd like to take away the rights of hunters to take a bear or a bobcat using hound dogs.
What is the reason they say that we should not hunt with dogs?
Well, you know, from their rhetoric, they're going to claim that it's unsporting and that it's cruel, which, you know, apparently they haven't been on a hound hunt to understand just how it works, or they'd know better.
Yeah, that's true, because, man, I've been I used to have blue ticks and walkers up in Montana, and I hunted a lot of cougar, and occasionally I would tree a bobcat or a lynx. It wasn't what I was after, and we hunted bears. And it's not as easy as they want to think.
Oh boy, sure not. And you know what? Of course, if you're an outsider, you just wouldn't understand this. Treeing a bear gives you a chance to pass on it if you don't like something about what you're looking at. Maybe it's a pregnant sow or a nursing sow, and so you go ahead and pass on the shot that day. It gives you a chance to have a nice, clean shot. I mean, everything that's good about hunting, it happens in hound hunting, and there's just no justification to take this right away from Californians.
Rob, you know, we try and not to be too political because, generally speaking, there's a difference of opinions between different sides. But what I believe we're seeing is not just this particular issue. It's a matter of people that have an agenda that may not understand exactly what it is, the way things work, and they certainly, I don't think they have the science in a lot of ways to find out what happens. And, you know, there is I wouldn't call it a balance of nature, because I don't think there is. I think it's a matter of survival of the fittest. But, you know, when you do try and put things into place to control populations, it normally comes backfires on you.
Oh, it sure does. And you think about all the cougar problems that have happened in California since they stopped hunting them. You know, here's what I think. I mean, I think there are organizations out there whose purpose it is to ban hunting, you know, and the Humane Society of the United States is the biggest. But I think they're able to gain a foothold in California just because so many people don't live, you know, in the rural and country areas anymore. And that makes them just a lot more susceptible to stories about hunting that aren't true. And also, it takes them a long way away from a day when you had to know where your food came from.
You know, that's true. And you know, I wrote a story about a cow, a calf, how they grow up and, you know, and what happens to them, and then they get killed, and then we eat them. And that was a whole lot, you know, different than, you know, these people just don't understand, and they're not going to understand. I think the correct word to use, they're not stupid people, they're ignorant. They just have never been exposed. They don't know what to do. They don't have an idea what goes on out there. And, you know, everybody hunts some way in their life. Some people hunt women. Some people hunt bottles. Some people hunt customers. But every one of us has something that we look for that we enjoy doing. So, I mean, hunting has changed from the country mouse to the city mouse. It's changed, but we still hunt something. And these city slickers sit around and think that they know everything and they know nothing. And I'm sorry, I'm very against what's happening as far as the trapping and hunting regulations, that they're becoming strict, and they're not, these tree huggers do not even know what they're talking about.
Rob, the issue I think that we were talking about is using dogs in hunting. And I don't know, typically when there's a bill passed, there's usually some other, let's say, collateral damage that happens with it. But, you know, one of the concerns is that, you know, if you can't use dogs for certain types of hunting, well, what about if you want to hunt pheasants or chuckers or, you know, something that's not controlled?
Well, and I tell you, one of the big concerns that I have is that if you apply the things that the other side says about hunting with dogs for bear, then how is it different? You know, is if it's wrong to tree a bear, then it's wrong to tree a raccoon.
Or point a bird.
Yeah, exactly, or flush a bird. And I think it's you're for the opponent, they're just moving the ball down the field so they can lay the groundwork for what comes next. And I don't think the public at large understands, you know, the bigger picture. If I make the argument you should not be able to chase animals with a dog, then how are we going to control coyotes? How are we going to control, you know, the spread of rabies with raccoons? And they don't see the bigger picture, but why would they? You know, if you live in Los Angeles, it's something you don't really have to deal with.
No, they're dealing more with drugs than they are with animals.
You know, one of the things that's really alarming, speaking of Los Angeles, is the L.A. Times is reporting that this whole thing is payback for the way that the hunters came to the rescue of Fish and Game Commissioner Daniel Richards.
Yeah, there was a movement to push him out, and that didn't happen.
Right. You know, and all Richards did wrong was go hunting in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
In Idaho, you're allowed to hunt mountain lions. In California, you're not. And Richards had the audacity to go hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And the anti-hunting crowd that launched a campaign to get him thrown out. And, of course, the hunters came to his rescue. And the L.A. Times is reporting that this bill is payback, which I can't understand why in the world that we would want to manage wildlife so politically. You know, mm-hmm. whether you disagree with Richards or not, and I happen to not disagree with him, I think him going hunting is everything that's right about America.
Well, he has, he's right. All of us have a right to hunt and fish wherever we, excuse the language, damn well please.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Sorry, John.
Okay. All right, well, we can always bleep that. Anyway, Rob, why don't you give us just a quick rundown on the U.S. Sports Alliance, U.S. Sportsman's
sure.
Alliance.
Well, U.S. Sportsman's Alliance works in all 50 states to defend your right to hunt, fish, and trap. We work in the Congress. We work in the courts. We've got members in all 50 states, and folks can plug in with us and find out more by going to ussportsmen.org.
So ussportsmen.org.
That's it.
Okay. Well, and it sounds like it might be a good idea to get some more information about what you guys are doing. And again, it's not just about the topic that we talked about today. You guys are trying to, you know, push back on all fronts where some of the regulations that don't seem to be based on any a particular reason or science.
Oh, absolutely. And not everything we're doing is on the defense either. You know, we've got a program that gets young people in the out hunting, and so far have sold more than 750,000 apprentice hunting licenses. So, you know, the world's not all bleak, but sometimes, you know, we've got to fight the bad fights, and sometimes right. we get to fight the good ones.
Okay, Rob, we'll just do that one more time. It's a U.S. Sportsmen Alliance.org.
It's a U.S. Sportsmen.org.
U.S. Sportsmen.org. Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate you coming on, and maybe we'll have to get an update from you sometime in the near future.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Anything I can do to help, you just let me know.
Sounds good. We appreciate that, Rob. And you are listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we also have the Grizz that's going to be hanging around with us for a little while. And, Rob, thank you very much, and we're going to be back with you momentarily.
Mm-hmm. It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
I wish that I was fishing on Lake Placid Bay. Sun is out, I'm doing great. It's a perfect situation. I wish that I was fishing.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz, who is joining us from Adventure south of the border, and he is a little south of the border. And speaking of south of the border, we have Wes that's going to be joining our program today. And Wes operates the marina at the Corral Hotel in Ensenada. Wes, welcome to Fish Talk Radio.
Hi, good afternoon, John.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. And we're going to be talking, actually, I don't know if you know Vagabundos Del Mar, but we're going to be see if we can bring them into the program also. But why don't you give us a little bit of an idea about Ensenada, and of course we probably want to hear a little bit about fishing, and if people want to take their boats down there, maybe you got some tips for them.
Sure, absolutely. Well, first of all, I don't run the marina. I run the marina store, and I work real close with the Corral Hotel and marina, and I'm adjacent to their to their office. So we work collectively together to offer the marina the best service we possibly can. Ensenada is, from a fishing standpoint, is just really an awesome place. We got our boat down there about 5 years ago, and I had planned on having a slip available in San Diego a year after I went down to the marina, and I decided after a year that the fishing was so much better down there and so much closer. Fuel was cheaper. It was just a perfect arrangement for me.
Well, yeah, actually, I know somebody that keeps their boat down there, but for most anywhere in Southern California, even Central California, it's not that much of a jog to get there, and it makes a lot of sense because, as you said, it's a lot less expensive, you know, to utilize their facilities, and fuel is a lot less expensive, and of course, you're right on top of where the fish are. You don't have to go very far, do you?
No, we don't. Actually, what's really interesting is the island, Todesantis Island, is 7 to 8 miles off the marina there. And typically, there's many, many options, and the yellowtail typically come through there. And it's just it's actually this spring has just been really awesome. Actually, in March we had 3 days of just banner yellowtail fishing. 25, 30-pound fish, not too many people fishing. It was just really, really, really nice time. And, for going out 7 miles, I'm not too sure where you could actually do that other than Ensenada.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, you do get some species down there that we don't get farther up the coast. But when there are fish down there, they usually get them down there first.
Well, yeah, that's the one thing nice about the location is we're basically centrally located in that the fish typically come up from the south, and so we can head down to Colonnette from Ensenada. It's not a real long run. 60 miles or so, They come up on the banks there, the lower 500 typically first, and then they go to the inner banks, which basically is 24 or 26 miles straight out of Ensenada. So those inner banks can be very, very productive. And the nice thing about it also, John, is you always have an option, and you know, it happens to all of us. We get skunked on the outside, come back in, and you know, we can get the barracuda, bonita, you know, yellowtail in by the island, and of course there's always rockfish. So it's really a very very good central location. And then getting the boat back in the harbor there at the corral, the you know, the fuel dock's right there. You come in, fuel up, and makes for a short day of fishing, actually.
Well, just give us about 30 seconds about the hotel itself.
Well, the hotel is a fully gated hotel, and it's a very family-oriented hotel. You know, it has all the amenities that you would get in a you know, 4 or 5 star hotel. Has a clubhouse. It has, of course, it has a marina store. Fido Espinosa, the master, is very, very friendly. Helps anybody with any of the paperwork that they have to have coming into the hotel itself, or coming into the marina. We have pool, that has a bar, it has a restaurant, and it has a shuttle service to town. You know, people want to get supplies. It is a very, very family-friendly operation.
Wes, if you don't mind, I want to bring on a friend of mine that you may or may not know. If you've ever heard of Vagabundos Del Mar, you know who Gloria Jones is. And they've been taking people through Ensenada, mostly farther down. But, you know, I'm sure that she is very, very familiar with all of Baja, and certainly on Baja Norte. Gloria, do we have you there?
Yes, we're connected.
Yeah, we're connected. And Gloria, where are you right now?
We're in Baja Sur, actually, in Loreto, which is about 5 hours north of La Paz and just south of Conception Bay, and the weather's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking to Wes, who's affiliated with the Hotel Corral and the marina there, and I'm sure you're familiar with them.
A very beautiful place, yes. We have many friends up there, actually.
Mm-hmm. And you know what you do? Maybe I'll let you explain it. But Vagabundos Del Mar has been around for many years. I believe it was actually founded by Ray Cannon. How many years ago was that?
This is our 46th year. And okay. Ray Cannon and are the founders. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been bringing people down. We have 9,000 members, and they travel all over Baja and mainland Mexico. And this year we brought 2 caravans down to see the beaches and the whales. It's been a fantastic record year for whales. And they're both back across the border in the U.S. now, and they had a fantastic time. And we help people with their permits, keeping them up to date on that, and mm-hmm. vehicle insurance, and anything they need to travel in Mexico.
Well, that's what we're talking about, and I'm Wes. Between you and Wes, you could probably give a pretty good idea about traveling at least as far as Ensenada. And I guess they've been doing a lot of road work through Tijuana, haven't they?
Yes, actually. Go ahead, Wes.
Well, they've done a little bit of work, but, you know, I think it's pretty much over now. I was down there a couple of weeks ago, and you know, you had both options. So it's an easy ride once you get on the toll road. By the way, Gloria, I have your stickers on the side of my car. I'm a Vagabundo member and have been for a long time. You guys have a great service.
Thank you.
Wow.
And we hear from all of our members that it's much easier to get through the checkpoints with the magnetic signs or the decals. So. They recognize who we are. And that road is super from Tijuana all the way to Ensenada, and it's pretty good coming through Tecate. The only thing is that going north, it's been a month and a half since we've been there, U.S. side is doing some construction at the border going north, so maybe you know more about that than we do.
Well, it hasn't slowed anything down. There is a little bit of construction there, but nothing that really slows us down. And of course, I took advantage of the entry pass.
Well, I suspect that you have a lot of people that come not just from Southern California to come down and visit, because you know certainly in the cooler weather, it's a great place to go if you're trying to escape the snow.
Yes, we have gals from South Dakota on one of the caravans. We have friends that are in La Paz from Minnesota. They're retired EMTs. So everybody just really loves getting out of that cold winter that I understand that's been up there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly is. I know that at one time Tijuana was one of the top travel destinations, cities in the world. But you know, they're for a lot of different reasons, there's been some problems that seem to have mostly gone away. But it looks like the people are starting to travel down there again. Would you say that that's true, Wes?
Yeah, actually, we've had pretty good show, especially here recently. So, with the easy transportation, across the border, absolutely.
Wow, that's great. We're really glad to hear that, because the people are wonderful, the beaches are wonderful, the fishing is grand, and the weather can't be beat. So,
right.
We're glad to help them any way we can. They can call our office. I'd be glad to talk to them and give them a step-by-step, an itinerary, and whatever else they need.
Okay, well, Gloria, let's give a quick idea how people can find out more about Vagabundos Del Mar.
Sure. We have an 800 number, and it's 800-474-BAJA, which is 2252, or our website is
www.vagabundos.com. Vagabundos.com. And it's a great service that you do, even if you don't want to do it in a caravan. There's a lot of great information that you have. And then, Wes, if somebody wants to come down and visit at the Hotel Corral and stop in and say hi, where are you located down there?
We're actually just about 3 miles north of the city, and it's pretty hard to miss when you come into town. You kind of take a straight or turn to the right, so mm-hmm. It's right off the toll road, just past the toll, so it's very easy to get to.
Okay, well, we appreciate that. Well, we're going to have to let you guys go. Thank you, Gloria. Thank you, Wes. Grizz, don't you go anywhere. You've been awfully quiet, but we're going to be back with you momentarily on Fish Talk Radio.
Considered the finest long-range sport fishing vessel in the world, the Royal Polaris is based at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Fishing the Royal Polaris provides unmatched service, speed, and comfort. Live the dream of landing giant yellowfin tuna, wahoo, and summer albacore. Still the fastest long-range sport fisher in the world at 113 feet, the Royal Polaris offers first-class staterooms, refrigerated fish storage, the latest in electronic fish-finding gear, and unmatched expertise. Live your dream for less money than expected. Visit RoyalPolaris.com.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
The boss, he's looking for me. He says it's time to go to work, but I am out on the sea. Please leave your message for me. Gone fishing.
John Hennigan in studio, and we also have the Grizz on the line with us, and we're going to be talking to Todd at Lake Hemet to find out a little bit more about what's happening in that part of the world and maybe find out a little bit about some lake fishing. Todd, we have you?
Yeah, you sure do. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, it just keeps
good.
Getting better. And you've got to now where you are located. You're up at a little bit of a higher elevation, well, compared to some other ones in California. But is the season starting to change up there? Are you starting to see anything happening?
Yeah, we've got the bass is starting to spawn. From what I understand, I heard, I haven't seen it yet, but our bald eagle, that a pair of bald eagles that are residents here, sitting on a pair of eggs apparently, and we've got a lake full of trout, and not really anybody up here fishing. I mean, it's you know, only at 4,350 feet, so it's sunny. It's like 60 some degrees out here, and it's just a beautiful day. We need more people coming up here. The Fish and Game stock this lake continually, at least a couple times in a month, and the lake's full of trout, and it just blows my mind. There's really nobody up here fishing. I don't get it.
Well,
get it.
Maybe we shouldn't be telling anybody.
Well, no, I actually want people coming up here and recreating and having a good time. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. So. That whole thing. So,
well, it is getting to be that time of the year. Of course, it's you know, spring is arriving in most parts of the you know, our country now, and I don't know if anybody gets the opportunity. I guess, you know, spring breaks happens at different times for different people, but it sounds like it'd be a great idea if you can sneak out for a few days to come on up.
Yeah, and we got the campgrounds here, so if folks want to do more than, you know, just the one day fishing, they could have a chance to fish in the morning, fish in the afternoon, just get the whole gamut. So,
well, you know, the Easter week's coming along, and it's coming up pretty quick. Everybody should take their wife and kids and go up and go camping, catch some trout, cook it over the frying pan there with some butter, some chopped onions in it, and sit out there and really enjoy their Easter weekend.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, just, you know, when you're sitting there fishing, I don't, you know, there's different kinds of fishing, of course, out there. You know, you got the folks that like to, you know, troll around or, you know, sit on the shoreline and, you know, get their lines wet and things. But there's, you know, when folks are fishing, put the magazine down. Look at your surroundings. You know, you got bald eagles out here. You got nature. You got birds. You got ducks. You got the, I'm looking at three white pelicans as we speak, you know, sitting out there. So.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing that needs to be done. The people need to get away from that television, need to get away from that house. Take their family out and show them the real beauty of the world.
Yeah, and you know what, too? If folks are unemployed and they want to come out here and fish, you know, we've got the $10 tag trout out there. You know, a bunch of the trout out that are stocked by Fish and Game are $10. You send the tag in. So, I mean, you can make money. Make money fishing out here on the lake. There's your job right there.
There you go.
That's what I do, but with television.
Well,
yeah, I know, but I'm excited. The bass is starting to spawn a little bit, and I haven't really seen any come out of the lake. But looking forward to the bass fishing coming up here. And the you know, the company that manages Lake Hemet is the California Parks Company, and they also manage Diamond Valley Marina as well. And from what Tammy told me over there, who's the general manager, she's saying that the bass is starting to bite. So folks need to come up and fish these lakes. You
know? Well, if I was a little bit closer, I'd be there tomorrow, but I'm kind of far away.
Yeah, well, you are far away, Grizz. But, Todd, can you give us some tips of somebody who wants to do some lake fishing?
Yeah, you know, and the tips that I kind of generally like to give is, you know, obviously there's folks who have been fishing for years and know how to fish lakes. I mean, there's the lake fishermen, there's the ocean fishermen, and, you know, a little bit in between kind of thing. What I usually typically tell folks, and especially really important to this lake is pretty much geared for catching fish. And obviously I told you earlier that there's a lot of trout in here, and you know, we need folks to come out here and enjoy this. With me, I've got a 4-year-old son and a 2-year-old daughter, and it's about catching the fish. So one big thing we got going on here is that the trout being stocked, and it's fairly simple. You know, it's one of those things where you got to try different types of bait. You know, typically what I do here in other lakes as well is I'll troll on the way out to whatever destination. Like from here, it'd be from our marina out towards the dam. And you kind of troll around, see if you get some strikes going on. And then if you do get some, you know, hopefully you pull one in. What you want to do is you want to kind of stay in that spot and then try different, you know, try some cast masks, anything that's sort of shiny, you know, maybe mini crocodiles kind of a thing. And you know, try different depths. If that's not working, I'll take a nice night crawler, you know, sink that thing down there, get down to the bottom. And see where those fish are, because remember, in these freshwater lakes, the temperature in the water is different at different levels. And so what you want to do is you want to find that level where they're at. Trout, for example, love cold water. And wherever that cold water is going to be is pretty much where you're going to find the trout. In the summertime, obviously, it's deeper water. Towards, you know, getting to the winter and things like that, it's all over the place. So you kind of want to try different baits, try different things. If the night crawler's not working, try the power bait. If the power bait's not working, you know, I mean, I'll cut up the night crawler into a third and try that. You know, maybe it's the smaller fish that are biting, maybe it's the larger fish. So try different things, different baits, different color power baits, troll. Just got to have patience, you know. I mean, that's why it's called fishing, right?
Yeah, you're right. And they don't call it catching, they call it fishing.
Yep, exactly. So, you know, and then you break out.
Well, you're quite a man to be sitting there cutting up night crawlers.
So, why? Because it gets all over you?
Yeah, it's kind of nasty. I like catching big marlin and stuff, and I don't have to cut up night crawlers.
Of course. I mean, John and
I mean, it's just a different thing. I have to cut up squid sometimes, but, you know, night crawlers, cutting them up, they get all black and gooshy.
Yeah, well, you know, you didn't want to catch fish. Well, you want to get goop on your hands.
That's why you take women with you fishing, so they can do that.
I don't know any women who'll do it.
So and then you got the bass, the same thing. You gotta find those little finger inlets and those little coves, and you know, find the structure. We've all heard that before. You gotta try the different spots. I know that right now the lake's somewhat low. It's not low, but you know, that'd be a good time if there's some local fishermen, whatever lake you're at, you know, go out there and start writing down some of the structure spots and maybe get your GPS out and mark some of these spots and really get to know your lake, especially your local lake, and see where the fish are. And then when the water comes up, you're going to know where those structures are. You're going to know where those, whatever. You're just going to know your lake better. So, you know, do some research.
Yeah, well, that's important, you know. It's part luck and a lot of scientific.
Yep.
You know, have to think about fishing. Sometimes you just cut up your little night crawler and throw it out there and you catch one. But it's always better to know the structure and everything, the water temperature and stuff, because, well, you're more successful that way.
Yeah, there's a local fisherman that fishes Southern California a lot. His name's Mike Long. He catches a lot of fairly big-sized bass. Like, he holds a couple of records in San Diego County. And what he does, he goes to all these different lakes and does that same thing. He'll even know the fish and kind of know where they're at. And, you know, sometimes the fish isn't biting, but he knows it's right down there. You know, you're not going to jump in and go grab the fish. You gotta wait. And you got to, you know, see what happens and just keep trying.
Yeah.
I mean, even the fishermen here, you know, like I said, we got campers that camper all the time. And you got to get that line wet for catfish. You know, throw that line out there. Try different baits. Get that line in the water. I mean, you guys, you know, you're saying, Grizz, you're catching, you know, your saltwater fish. I mean, are you going to catch something on any quarter day, three-quarter day, or you know, 5 day to Guadalupe, whatever? You're not going to catch any fish unless you get your line out there, correct?
Yeah, you got to have a wet line to do it. And you're right. Anywhere you go, whether you're fishing ponds, whether you're fishing lakes, rivers, or the ocean, you know, I've been fishing, making television shows now for 30 years. And if you don't have your line in the water, you're not going to catch a fish.
Yep.
Well, those are some good tips. And from what you're saying, it really, even in spite with all of the the modern chemistry and the modern age, you know, the old-fashioned way still works.
Yeah, and then you got your, you know, you want to, the size of the bait thing matters as well. Like I was telling you, I was, you know, cutting up the night crawler, same thing with ocean fishing. You got your, you know, you want to put a nice-sized mackie on there or sardine and, you're going to hopefully get the big one. Yes, you're going to get the short bites, but like I said, you got to get your line and that bait out in the water. Shoot, put a bell on it, you know, do something. Get the line in the water.
Well, it sounds like right now it's happening up there for sure. But and what about artificial baits?
Artificial baits, like I said earlier, you gotta that's what I usually start off with.
Mm-hmm.
And you just gotta, you know, dig in your tackle box and start pulling stuff out that you might not fish with. I mean, we all have a tackle box full of those artificial lures, baits, you know, I mean, how many worms you got in your freshwater tackle box that you haven't, you know, tried in the water yet? So mm-hmm. it's going to depend on, you know, the time of day, the tide, the moon, you know, the all that, where the sun is, all that good stuff. So You know, I'm sure, I mean, all I've noticed too here is the same thing with artificial baits and colors. When it's just like salt water, if it's overcast, you still want to kind of use the, at least for me, I use the darker colored spoons and things. And on the nice sunny days, I'll use the light ones. You know, you would have thought that it would be the opposite, but it's typically not. So
that's
at least what I've experienced here.
Mm-hmm. And then,
is that the same thing, Grizz, you notice in ocean fishing?
Yeah, it's the same thing because you're actually, what you're doing is silhouettes.
Mm-hmm.
You're not actually doing colors. You know, a fish down to below looking up, I don't really think he sees the difference between, you know, a light yellow and a dark yellow. Mm-hmm. I just think he sees a silhouette.
Well, Grizz and Todd, we're going to have to wrap this one up, but that's some great information. The main thing is get out in the lake, and if whatever isn't working, try something else. And if it keeps working, keep doing it. Todd, we appreciate you coming in from Hemet Lake, and we would like to talk to you again real soon. Thanks for that, all that information. And Grizz, you stay tuned. We'll be back. We'll talk to you guys a little bit later. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.
Oh, that sounds like rain. Hurry up, woman. Get the youngest. Let's go.